Today's shir is Masechet Baba Kama, Daf Kuv Zayin. We will begin on Daf Kuv Vav Amud Beis, 16 lines from the bottom. V'amar b'chi bar'aba amar b'yoichanan. Hatan tanis ganif b'aveda. If somebody found something that was lost, and it says that he found it, and then he swears falsely that it was stolen, the loch is, and then Edom come and say, well, actually, you stole it yourself. The halacha is, he's misham tashlumei kefil. He would have to pay kefil. Ask the Gemara, my tama, what's the reason? Because the pasuk says, the ksiv, the Torah speaks about a toyin tanis ganav, a shomer who is watching something and he claims that it was stolen. And the Torah says, al klavei the shomer ku huzeh, ad alehem yavad vashneim, I share you shilam alahim yishalom shnai l'reyehu. The Torah Akdosha says that once you take something into your helm and you become a shomer aveda, the halacha is that once you take an aveda into your home, you become a shomer, and once you become a shomer, you're chayiv for kefil, as we discussed extensively in our previous year, for when you are a toyin tanis ganav. Esvei, Rabba Abba Bamamo, Rabchi Barabba, it says in a braisa, Kit Nishare Kesav Kalim Lishmar. So the Torah teaches us the word ish. So we learn from here, Ein Nesinas Katan Kulum. There has to be an ish that gives you something to watch. But if you get something to watch from a katan, then all of the halachas of Shomrim that you have to swear, etc., would not apply. And since all of those halachas won't apply, so too the halacha of kefil is not going to apply. Only ella nosnoi kishukatan. We only know this halacha applies if when the person asked me to watch it, I'm a katan, he was a katan, but tava kishukatan, and he also asked for it back while he was still a katan. However, what will be the halacha nosnoi kishukatan? He gave it to me to watch when he was still a katan. However, v'tavai, he asks for it back, kishu gadol, when he's already a gadol, menayin, how do we know that, even in this case, since it started as a katan, the halacha is that it's not considered ki'itein ish, and the halachas won't apply. Tamalaymer, the pasuk says, adalahim yavad vash shnehem, the pasuk says, that when the object was given to me to watch, and at the time when it was asked to be returned, and the entire episode that we're discussing here in the shir takes place, that's when the person had to be a gadol. If he was a katan, it would not be acceptable. V'meisa asked the Gemara that if was saying that all of the halachas of Shomer also apply by an aveda, so why should something that I was given by a katan to watch worse than an aveda? Aveda is something that was lost. And if it was lost, that means nobody, and I found it, that means nobody had it. And yet the Torah, as we started today's shir, is teaching us that an aveda is treated like a like a regular object that I'm asked to watch. So why is it worse if it was given to me by a katan? Says the Gemara, Amalei, Sahachem Ma'iskinen, the Bryce is speaking about a case, K'kon she'achlu kushu katan. That means that the object was no longer in existence only while the owner of the object was a katan. So since the entire time that this object was in my possession, he was a katan, that's why the din of shomrim don't apply. So what does that mean, says the Gemara? Avakashugadl, that means if I had the object, he gave it to me as a katan, and I had the object in my possession while he was a gadol, and then the halacha would be that he would be considered, then the halachas of Shomer would apply. So my hachanam de mishalim, the dinam of Shomer would apply, says the Gemara, hachi, if that's the case, We learned at the top, we learned at the end of the Braisa. Ad the Tana, the Braisa said that when is it considered an act of Shomer? At the scene of a Tvir, Shavim Kechod, that he had to have given it to me, and also I had to have been, and he should have asked for it back. All as long as he was a Gadol listening, we're learning now that that actually isn't Halacha. We're now learning, as long as he asked for it back, as long as I did took it and used it while he was already, only if I used it and he asked for it while he was a Gadol, would I not, when he was a Katan, the Halachas would not apply. But what we're learning now is that if that were not the case, and if the case were that before I actually used it for my own purposes, he was already a Gadol, then the Halacha would be that the dinim of Shomrim would apply. But that's not what the Braisa said. Answers the Gemara, Amalei, so indeed Rav Chiya said to me, the way to understand the Braisa is that the proper wording of the Braisa is to me that we have to learn that Ach te'achil v'tfiyah shomer kechad. And if the Bekadon was in existence after the person who asked me to watch it became a Gadol, then it would be enough that the halachas of Shlomrim would apply. So now the question that was asked, that how do we reconcile, the question that was asked, that how do we reconcile the two halachas, has been satisfactorily answered. What was the question? The question is, that Aveda should be no worse than something that was given to me by Chatan. And the Gemara, so says of Ashi, actually, and therefore, if we're saying that Hilchas Shomrim apply by Aveda, they certainly ought to apply as well by a Shomer who's a Katan, or vice versa. If Hilchas Shomrim don't apply by Aveda, by Katan, they ought not to apply here either. Vashem Eloi Domi. You can't compare the situations. Aveda as mekoyach ben das. Even though the Aveda, of course, by definition, is something that was found, and it was found nobody gave it to me, I just happened to find it. But who was the owner of the Aveda that we're speaking about? The owner of the Aveda that we're speaking about is a ben das. So that's why, even though he didn't give it to me, it's still considered that I'm dealing with a Gadol. However, ha, in this case, when it was a Katan who gave it to me, it didn't come to me from a Ben Das. And since it didn't come to me from a Ben Das, the Halacha, the Torah excludes it from Hilchas Shomrim. But one of the things that we learned here is that an act of a Katan would not be considered, is not considered halakhically valid. And I saw that this has relevance to a number of situations. One is a situation where a katan, Nebuchadnezzar's father, did not make for him a pidyon haben. But he's old enough, he's intelligent enough to do a pidyon haben for himself. Would the pidyon haben that he does for himself be a valid pidyon haben? We know that a katan has the halachic ability to own money. So the question will be, if he gives that money to a kohen, will that be considered a valid pidyon haben? And even if we'll be able to come up with a halachically successful mean how a katan can make a kinyan, still the Chizkinuch says that we see from here an act of a katan is a meaningless act. Another place where the Paiskim say it would be relevant is the Kedosha, the Halacha, the Megillas Esther, speaks about the mitzvah of pidyon haben. And the mitzvah of pidyon haben, and the mitzvah of matanus of mashloich manus. And the Torah says, the Megillah says, Kitin, the Torah says, mashloich manus ish l'reyehu. So the giver is called an ish. The receiver is called a re'ehu. And now the question is, if somebody who is a katan is the one that receives it, is that considered that I gave a katan shalach manus? that is it considered that I fulfilled the mitzvah mishloach manas? So if the Yerushalmi says that no, because it has to be an ish, and the re'eyu in the pasuk is compared to the ish in the pasuk, and if the ish in the pasuk, as we're learning the Torah, when the Torah uses the word ish, means a gadol, so too must the re'eyu to whom I am giving the shalach manas be an ish. But there are others that say actually just the opposite, and their approach is that if the Torah, if the Megillah wanted that the receiver has to be a re'ehu, so the Torah should have not, the pasuk should not have changed its wording from ish to re'ehu. Maybe the fact that the pasuk changed its wording to re'ehu is, on the contrary, very much an indication that the halacha is teaching us it has to be, it could be anybody, and as long as the receiver is a re'ehu, it's good enough. Continues the Gemara of Amar Akiva, Abba Amar Yochanan. Atan Tanis Ganav B'Kodin. Again, somebody was asked to watch something, and then he claims that it was, stolen. And as the Rishonim point out, what type of a Shomer are we speaking about? So certainly, it was speaking about a Shomer Chinam. The Gemara is very understandable, because the halacha is that a Shomer Chinam is potter on Geneva Vaveda. But as we've learned previously, the Rishonim point out that the Gemara here could be even speaking about a Shomer Sacher. Because although a Shomer Sacher is not potter on Geneva Vaveda, but if the Geneva Aveda took place with a list in Mezuyin, then the halacha is that a Shomer Sacher is potter. So we'll say that it's a Shomer Sacher and claims that the theft was done by an armed bandit. So again, Hatayin Tainus Ganabe B'Kodim, Ein Chayiv, he's not Chayiv to make a Shvua, Ad Shiyivka B'Mikzah B'Maidu B'Mikzah. Namar here introduces the concept of Maidu B'Mikzah, that the halach is that the Torah only obligates a Shvua in a situation where it's a partial denial and a partial admission. My Tama, because the Pasuk says, in the parasha of Shomrim, regarding Shomer Chinam, Toyin Tanis Ganav, the pasuk says, "Shomer Ki Huzeh Ara Lehem Yavad VeShemayim." He says Ki Huzeh, but it's a partial admission. Says the Gemara, "Or Pligid Reb Chiya Bar Yosef." This is in disagreement with Reb Chiya Bar Yosef taught us. Don Reb Chiya Bar Yosef, Ira Parashas Kosel Kan. Says the Gemara, what does he mean to say that even though the Torah teaches us the halacha a moed b'miksas, as we just said in the parasha of Shomrim, but we don't use it for the parasha of Shomrim. Ira parashas, the Torah has mixed up, so to speak, the application, the ki, ksiv, ki uzeh, and where does the Torah mean to teach us this halacha of moed b'miksas? Amilva hu d'ksiv, it's regarding hilchas havah, that if you say, I owe you money, and I deny that I owe you the money, when does the Torah say that I have to swear? The Torah says, I have to swear if the Raisa, I only have to swear if there was a Haidah B'mixas. So, Rabbi Eliyahu Dessler, in the Sefer Michtam Eliyahu, says, when we see this halacha that the Gemara teaches us, Ira Parash Yishon of Khan, that there's a pasuk that's in the Parash of Shomrim, but even though it's in the parish of Shomrim, we say it really means halva. Or we know there's a halacha of there's a rule, ein mugdam mukh b'tayra. So he tries to understand why would the Torah have been written this way? Why, if we're talking about halva, does a halacha that applies to halva, does the Torah state it in the parish of Shomrim? He says it's a lesson to teach us that the way the Torah operates and the rules of the Torah are not governed by the same rules how people look at rules. And what does he mean to say? What he means to say is that, and he says it, is that the Torah, we should understand that the Torah is a lot deeper than anything that we can fathom and that anything that we really could understand in its full depth. Because the rules, there are no rules, perhaps, he means to say. And since there are no rules, all the rules that we think we've fulfilled, we haven't yet fulfilled. Ask the Gemara, Maishna Milva, why would we say it? Part of the Gemara's question is, why, there's two parts to the Gemara's question. One part of the question is, why is there in general a halacha of Maidim and Mixas? If somebody is partially admitting, it's more than he completely denied. And the second question is, why is it particularly applicable to Milva, when somebody partially admits and partially denies alone? So explains the Gemara, the background to understand Maidim and Mixas. Could the Rabbah, as Rabbah taught us, I'm a Rabbah. Name Ma'amatari Maidim and Mixas, Hatani Yeshava. As we just said, Rabbah's question is, somebody who partially admits should be given credit. Yet here we find that he's the person that the Torah requires to make a shvuah, because Chazaka says Rabbah, Ein Adam Meis Panav Bifnei Bal Chayva. A person usually would not have the audacity that if somebody lent them money to deny it at all, to deny it entirely. B'hai Mekulei by the Lifterei. Really, this person would want to deny it. So the reason he hasn't done that is because he doesn't have such audacity. So if Ein Adam Meis Panav, and he can't look at the face of the person who lent the money and say, I don't owe you any money, so then why doesn't he completely admit that he still owes the money? He should completely admit that he owes money. So why is he partially denying? If I will admit that I owe the entire loan, so what's going to happen is, I'm going to be expected to pay it up. But as the Rishonim point out, I don't have that money. So this is a delay tactic. And he says, I'll admit to part of the money. And like that, that will be all that I have to pay. And then, when I'll have the balance that I will have, that I owe him, I'll pay him the whole thing. Hilchach. So since the person began this rationalization, Rama Vachmana Shvuah, the Torah says if this is the person's thinking, he has to make a Shvuah, because what we're trying to accomplish is Kehecha Delay Delay Bekulei, he should admit that he owes the entire money. So ask the Rishonim, not to say that what he's doing is right, but he's taking a good approach because he really wants to pay. So why is the Torah being so strict with him and saying you are the person that has to pay, that has to make a shvuah? So Rishonim say a very simple vart. Yes, this person started with the best of intentions, and his intention was that he wants to pay, and just he's just in a bad place. But say the Rishonim, what happens is it starts with good intentions, but it ends off with poor intentions. And what it means to say is, once he said this lie, and then he gets into this bad habit, Chazal are concerned that he's not going to come back and admit, the Torah's concerned that he's not going to come back and admit that I really owed you the entire money. But says the Gemara, this entire logic, Gabi Milva, who Tikkul Mei Mahakri, is only applicable by a loan. Aval Gabi Kapadim, when we speak about a Kapadim, then it doesn't apply. And that's why a person who is holding somebody else's object, so his attitude is, I was doing you a favor. And since I was doing you a favor, the halacha is that he doesn't feel that concern of how to speak in a chuspidig way to this person. And as I said, the Rishonim point out that this Gemara is a very unique Gemara, because we never do, typically we don't do Talmud Akra. It is our place to ask what the Torah says. It is not for us to ask why the Torah says something. But here we find a very unusual Gemara, that the Gemara is focused on why the Torah said something and not what the Torah said. And how do we understand that? So for that, say the Rishonim, as we learned the Gemara, Because logically, they were saying, and it's counterintuitive, that a Moed of a Mixus should be treated more strictly than somebody who's a Kaifer HaKol. So the Gemara had to give us an explanation. So Rashi explained the Gemara. We explained the Gemara like Rashi. The question is, if we're concerned that this person's saying something not true, so why does the Torah tell him to swear? So Rashi explains that the Gemara means to say that the person is not a bad person. He's a good person. And that's why we're not concerned that when he's going to be put into the position that he has to swear, that he's going to swear falsely. Tysus learns the Gemara with a migui. There's a migui that the person could have said, I don't know anything. And by the fact that he didn't say that, but he admitted that he owes something, shouldn't that be a proof that what he's saying is true? The concept of migui that we have throughout Shas is like, if I wanted to say something which wasn't true, I could have said a better claim. So that over here as well, we should use that logic, to which the Gemara says, here there's a reason why Taisha says that the migui shouldn't work. I saw that the Sefer Nitei Eshel explains that every morning when we say Birchas HaShachar, first we say the last bracha, Agoy Mechasod and Toivim, La'ama Yisrael, and then we say, Yirotzen Shetetzileinu Mi'azei Ponim. So what is the connection between a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should save us from Azei Ponim, to what we say, Agoy Mechasod and Toivim? So he explains that in the morning, every morning when we get up and we say the Birchas HaShachar, culminating with saying Agoy Mechasodim Toivim L'Ama Yisrael, we're really announcing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we thank him for the infinite amount of chesed that he does for us all the time. So if that's the case, we're Chayovim L'Kadosh Baruch Hu. We owe HaKadosh Baruch Hu so much. So we right away say that we should also not be the Azei Ponim. Because we just learned in our Gemara that there's a new type of individual. A person who is somewhat, a person who's somewhat honest, but not completely honest. So that we called an asponim. So we say that we should always remain in the category of people who recognize what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us. And not only are we people that recognize what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us, but it should be without any azas ponim. We should be able to understand the complete, we should always recognize that everything is a chesed Hashem. As we've said in previous shiurim, in Batei Dinim, Bizman Hazeh, don't impose shvuas. But I saw a very interesting question that the Cheshuki Chemed discusses. And he says that there's a chassan, a person who's engaged to a girl, and he has reason to be concerned that his kala is not well. And because he has reason to believe that his kala is not well, he is saying that unless the kala will agree to go to a certain doctor to have herself examined, he doesn't want to go ahead with the wedding. And the kala is saying that she doesn't want to go for reasons of tznius, and she feels that what he's doing, he's just doing because he wants to get out of the obligation that he got into. And she wants him to make a shvua to back up his claim. So Marsham, he quotes a Marsham, who says that even when there's reason to have, like, this is connected to our Gemara, where there's reason to have concern, it doesn't make a difference. Bezman hazeh, we don't do shvua under any circumstances. Says the Gemara. Tani Rami Bachama. Abba Shomrim. We know that the Torah speaks about the four Shomrim. Tzrichin kfir b'mixus, vayda b'mixus. He says that in order, when there's a claim that from the person who owns the object, in order for him to have to swear, that's to be a double mixes. Beilehem, who are they for Shomrim? So we know that the Shemichinam, Shoyal, Nisusachar, Vasaicher. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava Mai Tam and Rava Bachama. What is the basis for Rava Bachama's position? Shemichinam Behedya, so he says, Shemichinam Behedya Ksibay, as we said a few moments ago, the Pasuk of Kihuzeh, which is the source for the Halacha of Moedim and Mixes, is stated by Shemichinam. Shemichinam Yalef, we learn from Shemichinam with Xer Shava, Nesina Nesina Meshemichinam, and Shoyal, the Pasuk says, V'chi Yeshel Ish Me'imre'eyu, Vav Maisef Elinuration, the Pasuk before speaks about Shemichinam, and then the Torah speaks about Shoyal, and the Vav connects the two halachas, and since the Vav connects the two halachas, whatever is the halacha by Shem Sachar, which we just said, is that he's chayiv v'shvu b'moedim mixes, so too shall be the halacha by Shoyal. And Seicher, so throughout halacha, we're going to discuss this extensively when we learn Masechet Bava Metzia, there's a machloikis, how is a Seicher, or Seicher is somebody who rents the object, how is a Seicher treated? Is he treated like a Shem Echinam, or is he treated like a Shem Sachar? So he l'man d'amer k'shem Sachar. If we say that a seicher is treated like a shem esacher, so a shem esacher we just finished explaining only makes a shvu by moedim mixes according to this opinion. And ilaman da'amek shem echinam that a seicher is treated like a shem echinam, so ha'inik shem echinam we treat him like a shem echinam. Says the Gemara, Amram chibar Yosef, hatayin tanis kana bebekadim. Somebody claims that the bekadim that he was asked to watch was stolen, and then he swears falsely to that effect. And then Edom come and actually say that he still has it. Ein chayiv, he's not chayiv for kefil, ad sheyishlach bayad. The Mara is teaching us a new chiddush, that unless he used it for his own purposes, there is not going to be a chayiv kefil. My Tama, says the Gemara, where does Reb Chiya ben Yosef take this halacha from? Says the Gemara, because the Pasuk says, regarding the individual who is a toyin tainus ganav, the nikra balabayis alalahim im lo shalach yodai b'melachas re'eyu. So he learns from here, mechlal the shalach bayad. If he used it for his own purpose, mechayiv, then he's going to be chayiv. I lo shalach bay, but lememra. So we say from here we see clearly the b'shalach bayad askinim. We're speaking about only if you were shalach yad. So I saw that the Sefer Paradis Yosef explains this pasuk al pidrush. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos, that Flamen Aleph Amen Aleph, teaches us that after 120 years, they bring a person to the Olam Emes. They ask him, Nusata v'nusata b'amuna, did you act honestly in your business dealings? And the other question that he's asked is Kavati itim l'tayra, did you set aside time to learn? And Tosfos Masechta Sanhedrin, Dav Zayin Amud Aleph Divrei Maska Ella, asks that, so here the Gemara is teaching us that the first question is about honesty in your business dealings. And there he says that the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin says that the first question is about Divrei Torah. So how do we reconcile the Gemara? So he answers, it matters who the individual who's being asked is. A person who spent his life doing business said they first ask him about his business dealings. A person who spent his life not doing business, he's asked about Divrei Torah. That's what he says. The Nikra Balabais El Olakim. If a person is a Balabais, that means the person is a business person. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu comes, when he comes up to a Kadosh Baruch Hu after he finishes his life, the question is, were you honest in your business dealings? People who aren't business people, we ask them, that person will be asked about his learning. Meir Prem Shlana would say, the Nikra Balabais Elohim, how is a person able to be the Nikra Balabais Elohim? How is a person able to become close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu if he is an individual? If he's an individual who's honest in his business dealing, an individual who's loy shalach yadoy, an individual who's honest, that is the individual who is given the opportunity to become v'nikr. He will be the individual v'nikr ba'al bayis l'kim, come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Gemara, l'memra. So we see from here that the only time there's an obligation to pay kefil is b'shalach b'yad eskinen. Amalei Rav Chiya bar Abba, hachi amar Rav Yochanan, amedes al avusa, b'amedes al avusa, if the animal is standing wherever it is, shanu, the halach is that you pay kefil. So now ask the Gemara, amalei Rav Chiya bar Abba, amalei Rav Zeir Rav Chiya bar Abba, what, how do we understand what Rav Yochanan just said? Dafka b'amedes al avusa kama, only in a case where the shomer has not misappropriated what he's watching for himself, is the halacha of kefil, of shalach b'yad. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, if you appropriate it for yourself, kana, it becomes yours. The shvua lo ma'ani beklum, the shvua is meaningless, because the shvua was said to a shomer. But once you took it for yourself, you're no longer a shomer, and therefore the shvua doesn't make a difference, and there won't be a din. You won't be considered a gazlan. You're not a shomer anymore. And if you're not a gazlan anymore, there's no din of kefil. Rabbi Yochanan meant to say that not only in the case of shalach bayad will you be chayiv kefil, but he means to say in all circumstances you'll be chayiv kefil. Amalei, so Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said to Rabbi Zeira, Zulo shemati. I don't know explicitly from Rabbi Yochanan how to understand what Rabbi Yochanan said. However, I heard a similar halacha from which I will be able to extrapolate the halacha. If somebody was asked to watch something and he says he lost it, and he swears falsely to that case, and then he says it was stolen, and he swears to that, and then Adam came and said that it's still in his possession, he doesn't have to pot, he doesn't have to pay kefil. My tama, what's the reason? Because when he falsely swore, before that it was lost, when it truly wasn't lost, it becomes his, as I said a moment ago, that he doesn't have any more the din of a shomer. Rashi explains, he now has the din of a gazlan, and since he has the din of a gazlan, that's why he's part of from kefil. So we see that the way to understand Rabbi Yochanan, presumably, is that when you lose your status of shomer, you no longer be chayiv kefil. Amalei loy, hoyel v'yotzi de ba'al b'shvua rishona, the moment that he swore, that's when everything starts kicking in. So when he makes the second shvua that it was stolen, and that second shvua actually could be argued as a superfluous shvua because he already swore that it was lost. That's why he's not considered a gazlan, because he already became a gazlan when the first shvua. But for the first shvua, he wouldn't be chayiv kefil, because you're only chayiv kefil if you're a ganef or you're a tayin tanis ganef. Not your v'toyin tanis avid. And it manami, says the Gemara, Omer Rav Avin, Omer Rav Bala, Omer Rav Yochanan, hatoyin tanis leidim kodem. If somebody claims that it was lost, the nishba, and he swears falsely to that effect, the chaz v'toyin tanis geneva, and then he says, no, it was stolen, and he swears falsely to that point, or bo eidim potter. Why? And here the Brisa is much clearer. The Brisa says, because he made that shvua. There's an interesting discussion in Tosfos. In our previous shiur, we had a discussion that there's a difference in shvuas if Bezdin made you make the shvua or you made the shvua on your own. So Tosfos says that even in a case that the Gemara's chiddush here is that Tosfos says that we learned yesterday, a shvua that you make on your own is not really considered a full-fledged shvua as far as the Torah is concerned. The chiddush is that even a bezdin made you make the shvua, since you became a gazlan after the first shvua, then the din of kefil will no longer be applicable. Says the Gemara, Amar of Shesh, Toyin Tanis, Ganabi Begodim. If somebody says that the Begodim that he had was stolen, Kivin Shesholach Bayad, if he appropriated for himself before he swore to that effect, he's potter from Kefil. My Tama, says the Gemara, where do we know that if somebody was Shalech Yad, and then he swears that he won't be Chayv Kefil? Says the Gemara, Kamer Chmona. For Nikar Balabayas Alahim, Im Lai Shalach Yadav Melech Smireyu. The Shomer has to swear that he not appropriate this for himself. And only in that case, where he didn't do Shlichus Yad, the Torah continues, Asher Yishina Lahim, Yisham Shneim L'Reyu. For we see from here, says the Gemara, says Rav Sheshes, Hashalach Yad, if he appropriated for himself, then Potter is Potter from Kefil. Amalei Rav Nachman, asked the Gemara, Rav Nachman asks Rav Sheshes, V'loi Shvala Shvus Mashbin Aysai. A Shomer who says that it was stolen, a Shomer Chinam who says that what he was watching was stolen, has to make three different Shuas. He has to make a shuas shalei peshati, but that I wasn't negligent. Shuas shalei shalachti bayad, that I didn't appropriate it for myself. And shuas shalei b'shusi, that the owner says that you still have it, and he says no. And only after he makes these three shuas, then, and only then, is the halacha that he will not be chayiv. Shamechinim. My laf. So suggest the Gemara. Shvuah shalosh shlacht biyad, domi de shvuah shen b'shusi. These two shvuahs travel together. Ma shvuah shen b'shusi, if the person made a shvuah that it's not in my possession, if kimigalia milsa de isa b'shusi, when it turns out that he lied and he still has it, he's chayiv kefil, af shvuah shlacht biyad, if he makes a shvuah that I didn't appropriate it for myself, and when it turns out that he did, kimigalia milsa de shalach biyad, so he sees chayiv kefil. Yet you're learning, you're saying, says, ask the Gemara, ask Rav Nachman to Rav Sheshes, that the moment he's Shaleich Yad, he's not going to be Chayev Kefil. Amalei, so Rav Sheshes responds to Rav Nachman Loi. He says, the way to understand this is Shvuah Shaloi Shalachti Bayad is Dumi de Shaloi Peshati Bay. Those two Shvuahs travel together. Now, and he explains, Ma Shvuah Shaloi Peshati Bay. When you make a Shvuah that I didn't, well, it wasn't negligent, the Kimagaya Milsa de Bashaba, if it turns out that you were negligent, and once you were negligent, what you were watching was stolen, then you're gonna be potter from kefil. If megayim milsa poshba potter mekefil, because he's not a ganif, because he's just not a shomer. He's not a ganif, and he wouldn't have to pay kefil. Af shvuah shlo shlachti b'yad. The halacha is that he's going to be potter from kefil. We had learned previously that if a shomer swears that the animal that he's watching was stolen, and then Adam came and said that he took it for himself, he has to pay kefil, but not dal v'hei. So the Gemara asked, why is he also not chayiv dal v'hei? The Tosfos asks that perhaps that brisa is referring to a case where the Edom said that the shor was eaten prior before to his false shvuah, and perhaps a ganef is only chayiv dal v'hei if he does tficha mechira on a stolen axe. But we're learning now that if there was shlichus yad, so then everything changes. Because the shechita was not preceded by an act of Ganeva, Tanya Tanas Ganev. It was preceded by Shlichus Bayad. Answer the Tosfos read that the Braisa cannot be speaking about such a case where it was eaten prior to Tanya Tanas Ganev. Because if that were the case, he wouldn't have to pay kefil. Because we just learned if there was Shlichus Yad before the Shvuah, then not only does he not have to pay Dal V'Hei, but he wouldn't have to pay Kefil. But the Gemara over there says that he's going to have to pay Kefil, but he's not going to have to pay Dal V'Hei. So that's why that Gemara, that can't be the way to explain that Braisa.